Good morning and welcome to our program. Today's message is about community and the need to care for one another. See, we all have a responsibility to watch over and care for our fellow human beings. And as believers, we should strive to witness to the many. So sit with your family, open your hearts, and listen to the word.
Matthew 9, verses 1 through 8. Jesus stepped into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own town. Some men brought to him a paralyzed man lying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man, Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven. At this, some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, "This fellow is blasphemy." Knowing there that Jesus said, "Why do you entertain evil thoughts in your heart? Which is easier to say your sins are forgiven or to say get up and walk?" But I want you to know that the sons of men has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the paralyzed man, "Get up, take your mat, and go home." Then the man got up and went home. Then the crowd saw this. They were filled with awe, and they praised God who had given such authority to men.
Search me and know me.
Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you this morning. We thank you for trusting us with your word. We're honored to be witness, to share the gospel, and to bring others to you. Father God, we ask you to place your hands on this message and the hearts of those who listen, and we ask that you continue to bless us with your love. In all things we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Have you ever received news that was so good? It made you so excited that you couldn't wait to share the news with your friends or family, or a moment of achievement was so significant that it was even sweeter because your family or friends were there to celebrate that moment with you. Or you experienced a moment in time that was so traumatic that you felt hopeless, but your friends or family, your support mechanism helped pull you through because they were available. And they reminded you that Jesus is always available. See, sometimes life can be so bad that people who never turn to God soon realize his power. They soon realize that the only way they can get out of this situation or even deal with their situation is through the power of God. But for those who are not in touch with God, for those who have not yet followed the right path, who will show them? Who will tell them about the love of Jesus? See, we have an obligation to show the world that the Lord can make a way out of no way. You were inflicted with disease, but you were healed by the Holy Spirit. And the doctor said, I've never seen anything like this, or we can't explain this outcome. But those of faith, we know what it is. We understand that outcome. This scripture is showing us a number of things in this story. First, it's showing us that there are two healings taking place. See, when they came to God, he restored this person physically, but he saved him spiritually. And the first thing he said to the man was, you are forgiven. So he had to accept Jesus and have his sins forgiven before any miracle of healing took place. Jesus said this before he said, get up, take your mat, and go home. However, it doesn't stop there. It gets deeper than forgiveness and healing. Jesus was also showing us how beautiful this world could be if we loved unconditionally and if we had deep compassion for one another. through community, through church, when more than one of us come together, through faith and prayer. If we use the gifts given to us to further the Great Commission, in which Jesus commanded the apostles to preach the gospel to the entire creation, that's all of us, which is confirmed when he said, "I am with you always to the end of age." So can you imagine? Can you imagine a world like this where everyone is preaching, everyone is spreading the word, everyone is bringing everyone to Christ? Can you imagine? So some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, "This fellow is blaspheming." But Jesus knew their thoughts and said, "Why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." While putting this message together, I thought about this particular period in time and what the teachers believed God wanted from them in terms of praise and obedience. See, the teachers were so stuck on law that they missed the compassion shown by the few in faith who brought this man to Jesus. They were so stuck on law that they didn't recognize the deity that was in their presence. How often are we going down a checklist or focusing on our situation and not recognizing the presence of God? How often do we focus on the word and miss the mission? How would it look if we truly went by the teachings of Jesus Christ and not by what we believe God wants from us? Every intervention will not lead to physical healing. However, every intervention will lead to spiritual healing. And if you truly accept Jesus and ask for forgiveness, you know the rest. Some of us believe that we are so self-sufficient, but sometimes we need others. Sometimes we need our community to intervene, to give us a wake-up call, and sometimes we need to be in a situation of desperation in order to realize that Jesus is the only way out or the only way through the storm, and sometimes we need others to show us or remind us of this. Things were so dark that your faith brought you to Jesus. You were so far gone that your family and friends prayed for you and reminded you that Jesus is the reason. Life happens, and as long as we're in this world, there will be trials and tribulations. But my trials and tribulations will not occur because I need to be in a situation of desperation. I know who he is. I know what God has done for me. And we have to understand that everything is possible for those who believe. And I want to be one of the people in the group who bring that person in, that person who's in need, that person in need to Jesus. I want to have so much faith that the person who's paralyzed, the person who's in a crisis will trust me enough. They will trust me so much that they will allow me to introduce them to Jesus. See, no matter what people say to me, I'm going to understand what this is, and this is the world, so I can't question God when things don't go my way, but I will ask him for strength. I will ask him to reveal his will to me. I will ask him for guidance. And I understand that he can answer your prayers and he can be the miracle worker in your life. And sometimes he might be telling you something. He just might be telling you that you need a new set of friends. He might be telling you to change jobs. He might be telling you to give testimony. So what do you do when you lose everything? When you feel hopeless? Quick fact about me. So every Christmas, I have a list of Christmas movies that I watch. And one of those movies is The Kid with the Broken Halo. The Kid with the Broken Halo, and it stars Gary Coleman. It's in the 80s, and he's trying to get his wings, trying to become a guardian angel. And the chief guardian angel basically tells him, I'm going to assign you to three families, identify what the problem is, and fix it. So he correctly identifies the three issues with the three families. But throughout the movie, he tries to fix what he believes is the solution to their problems. But at the end of the movie, he realized that sometimes you can't really fix someone's problems, but when you help others, you forget about your own problems. And that's what he did. The families helped the other family's issues. So in a sense, it's healing. And research shows that healing or helping others can help the healing process. It can reduce stress. It can improve your mood. It can build self-esteem. And it can increase happiness. But researchers have figured out what Jesus told us and showed us over 2,000 years ago. When you're in the Word, when you're close to God, when you're born again, you have an assignment. And instead of going on a ride with those who are lost, they are supposed to go on a ride with you. Instead of turning away from God, you're supposed to turn them to God. Instead of taking their ungodly counsel, you're supposed to provide them with godly advice. See, you should be helping them spiritually, and in turn, that can lead to the help they need physically, emotionally, and financially. You have been called to be a light. You've been called to be a model. Your assignment is to model the way. And if you don't, you're being disobedient. If you don't, turmoil is waiting for some because you didn't help your community by lifting them up and carrying them to Jesus. See, God has given us a great responsibility. We have a duty to serve through gestures of love. We have a duty to give to those less fortunate. We have a duty to bring others to Christ. Do you wake up in the morning and ask yourself, what have I done to glorify the name of Jesus? Do you go in the community and ask yourself, what can I do to help those who can't help themselves? Your Christian influence, your walk with God, your shield of faith is the only thing you need to win souls for Christ. If you can do it singing, mo better. If you can do it through speech, lovely. If you have a ministry with followers, you get it. If you haven't taken the time to demonstrate through love, through acts of kindness, through forgiveness, by walking away from gossip, ask yourselves, why not? Some of you say, who am I? I can't persuade anyone. I just want to sit in church or watch a minister on YouTube. So much is needed. And if you don't want to be a light, We're at a time in this world where we can basically create an AI. And that AI can praise God more than you. That AI can receive a program in its software or system that will allow it to assess the needs of others. And that AI can mimic or say and do things that mimic someone who really cares. I don't know about you, but I refuse to allow an AI to outlove me when it can't really love. In the beginning of this verse, others brought a paralyzed man to Jesus. And the Bible says Jesus saw their faith. So two things happen. Believers brought someone to Jesus, and Jesus knew they were believers. I don't know about you, but this sounds like church. It sounds like church to me, or the ideal church, or what church could really look like. As a community, as a church, we should be bringing others to Christ. Remember, the man didn't come to the believers. He's paralyzed. He's stuck in place. He's not moving. So we can be believers. We can be saved. But if we don't bring others to Christ, there's no healing physically and or spiritually. Adding to that, if we don't go to the masses, we're probably not living our purpose. What's more effective? What's more powerful? A house full of saints praising God, singing, testifying, telling each other how good we've been, or believers coming together, reaching out to those in need of salvation, introducing them to the love of Jesus, not the Bible, not the church, but the love of Jesus, and going to them. I want to bring others to Christ. What says you? I never will question your love for Jesus. I never will question anyone's salvation. But if you're a believer and you're satisfied with staying in your bubble, saying your prayers, going to church, saying a few hallelujahs, then going about your life, you have salvation, but you're hiding your gifts. You're saved, but you're disobeying the Great Commission. There's no excuse for not sharing Jesus with others. The heart of God wants everyone to be saved. And if we really understand that, and if we really believe, we have to know that we have an obligation. We're expected to share the good news to as many people as possible. Not everyone wants to hear it. Not everyone will be saved. Some people are turned off by those attempts. But we bring them to Jesus by demonstrating the love of Christ. In the office, people might joke about your faith, but when their world is turned upside down, like the man who was paralyzed, oftentimes they will come to you and ask, "Can you pray for me?" Years ago, I had a coworker who was talking to my cousin about me, and he said, "Lonzo's a good guy, but he's one of those Christian folk." But guess who he trusted with sensitive information? Guess who he turned to when he was in need? See, people Come to those who they know who are walking with God. We have an obligation. And those are the first steps of bringing people to Christ. The same ones who picked on you for believing, believe you can provide counsel. The same ones who called you a holy roller want you to introduce them to the Lord. The same ones who gave credit to the universe are now calling you and recognize the power of Jesus and not the universe. See, the universe is another way of saying, I'm not sure there's a God, but he deserves all the honor and glory. All the honor and glory. I want you to know that the concept of community suggests responsibility, and God wants us to take care of one another. If we learned anything during COVID, it was the value of connectivity. Churches went virtual, some churches shut down, and community was compromised. See, we are our brother's keeper. If not you, then who? Who will they go to when they lose a loved one? Who will they turn to when they're stricken with illness? Who will they go to when they have financial woes? Who will they go to when there's turmoil in the household? All of us will need somebody at some point in our lives. I don't care who you are. And for those who say, I just need the Lord, remember that the Lord works through your brothers and sisters. People have called me when I needed them to call. People checked on me when I needed to be checked on. People offered to help when I needed to help. And they initiated the contact through their love and faith and being obedient, agreeing to be a vessel for Jesus Christ. It was God working through his people. In Galatians 6:2, we're told to carry each other's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. In other words, don't try to battle sin and temptation on your own. We lean on community when we're weak. The church is there when we're slipping. No matter how strong you are in your faith, no matter how much you stay prayed up, no matter if you're saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, everyone needs someone sometime. Everyone gets weak sometime. Everyone falls short sometime. And when it's your brother or your sister getting weak, when you see your brother or sister falling short, remember you are your brother or sister's keeper when they start slipping. Carry them as a church. Carry them as a community. Carry them to Jesus. God has told us not to judge one another. God has told us your sister is part of your community. God has told us to reach out and lift your brother up. God has told us that over and over again. Yet we judge, we distance ourselves, we jump to conclusions. We fail to forgive, but expect forgiveness. But if you carry them, if you support them, God will heal them, God will deliver them, God will give them life. When your brother is paralyzed, the church should carry him to Jesus. When they're incapable of moving towards God, we carry them, we pray, we show Jesus our faith. Jesus came to his own town in a boat, and this is where some men brought to him someone, a man who was paralyzed, and Jesus saw there, not the paralyzed man's faith, but their faith, more than one. James 5:16 says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man, take heart, your sins are forgiven. But some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, this fellow is blaspheming. He is speaking against God. He's against God. His words are in opposition of the law. But Jesus knew. He knew what they were thinking, and he said, why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? And which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But I want you to know that I'm the Son of Man, and I have authority on earth to forgive sins. There's no blaspheming here. There's nothing or no one going against God right here. And Jesus said to the paralyzed man, get up, take your mat and go home. Get up so they can see that you are healed both physically and spiritually. Get up. And then the man got up and went home. And when the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe and they praised God who had given such authority to man. Jesus is waiting. All you have to do is just call. Jesus is waiting. He wants to come into your life. That's why the world is so crazy now. That's why the world has gone mad. We have more individuality and less community. We have more personage and less congregation. We are fighting so hard to be the standout that we refuse to stand with people of faith. Our ministry should involve church on the streets. Our ministry should include the congregation hitting the street corners. Our ministry should connect with the homeless. Our ministry should mean helping those afflicted with drug addiction. Our ministry should include helping those who need help the most. After all, they are our community. And that should be our ministry. The place is here, the time is now, and we have been commanded. We've been commanded to spread the gospel and lift up our brothers and sisters. Let us pray that God gives us a heart like Jesus, full of compassion and love, which will allow us all to be vessels for our King. Amen. Thank you for joining us this week. And it's important to know that we're not here just to save ourselves. We have an assignment. And that assignment involves spreading the word and leading others to Christ. I want to thank each of you for taking the time to listen to our program and for worshiping with us today. Mackenzie, 9 years old, people. What a blessing. Thank you for the scripture reading, Mackenzie. And Natasha, thanks for bringing praise and worship to our program. If you have a prayer request, we are here for you. And if you have questions, need advice, or just want to comment on our program, email us at theunknownpreacherla@gmail.com. That's theunknownpreacherla@gmail.com. And remember, to make a difference, you have to be different. God bless. It's the unknown, unknown. It's the unknown, unknown preacher. It's the unknown preacher. Hey, hey, hey.
It's the unknown.